Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank, with Big Al and D-Mac.
First down, Philip Lindsay back in. Lindsay waits, great patience. Lindsay cutting to the outside. He's got blazing speed, and he's gone. Touchdown, Broncos. Tasmanian Devil running free.
Rivers rush coming, and Rivers has to absorb it. Von Miller, his 16th career sack. Rivers in trouble, takes the sack. Didn't have the time. Bradley Chubb with his 9th sack of the season. He's left 11 straight games with at least 2 touchdowns. Intercepted, picked up by Von Miller. Miller trying to stay upright, and he's brought down from behind by Travis Benjamin and throws. It's complete. Cortland Sutton finally brought down at the 15-yard line. It's Lindsay. Direct snap. Lindsay cuts and slices in for the touchdown. The Broncos have come all the way back.
Well, that didn't go well. Rivers and Gordon not on the same page, and Bradley Chubb makes them pay. Keenum on 2nd and 5. He's got his man, Emmanuel Sanders. Keenum deep drop. Keenum throws. It's caught. Cortland Sutton, and he's down, but the clock is rolling. McManus, the kick. He's got it. That's a winner.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
The
hero.
Al, what about Case Keenum?
Thought he had a solid game. Once again, I think that every time you give this guy a chance to drive the football in, then that's the best way to see him throw the football. To see it floated out there on the play to Emmanuel Sanders, man, I thought my heart was going to skip a beat for a minute. But when you saw him drive that ball in there to Cortland Sutton, that's how we get the dub, man. That's how we get the victory.
Right.
That's how we get the win.
How we get the win!
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never give it up. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go.
You stay classy, San Diego.
And they stay there!
This is the moment.
A 2-point conversion, whether to ask for a review or not. Who exactly are you talking to upstairs that lets you know whether to throw the red flag? And what replay are they looking at? Because just sitting home on TV, it seems so obvious.
Well, I'm talking to our staff in the press box. You know, obviously I can't see the replays. But, you know, I mean, those guys give me the evidence to challenge. You know, so if it's not clear, they tell me, coach, it's not clear. We can't tell. So obviously the rules are if it's a scoring play, right? It goes to the league if it's a positive play. So I would prefer if the officials are not sure if it's a positive or negative play, just call on the positive side because it's. It's a built-in fix for him. Okay, so once he calls it a score, it's reviewed. Okay, it's reviewed. So if it's not a score, okay, I have to obviously challenge it. So if my views are not clear enough to challenge it, I can't because it's 12 minutes in that game. If I lose that challenge, it costs me something. You know, so in my opinion, you know, it was more important to keep our time out there without having clear evidence. Now, if it was clear. Absolutely, we challenged that, but it wasn't clear to our guys upstairs.
Are they looking at TV broadcast or are there other cameras?
I'm not sure what they're seeing upstairs, okay, if it's different from the TV at home or what we're seeing in our box. I'm not sure what they're seeing, but it wasn't clear to those guys that it was a scoring play. You know, so it was gray. So that being said, on the field, it was called as a play that didn't score. So if my guys tell me it's gray, how could they overturn it? So that's, you know, that's my thought process.
Well, that's a tricky answer because you can definitely say, and I know Zach was taking umbrage with the fact that the coach doesn't know what they're saying up there. But and the truth is, as we found out, which might be staggering, there's no independent control. They are watching the same thing you are watching. They are watching the TV broadcast. And every stadium is set up different now with cameras depending on, you know, the game. Tonight, there'll be 10,000 cameras tonight, right? I mean, you'll see every
little
thing.
Official cameras by the TV crew. So let me explain this to you so that you'll understand how the television production works on any given game. Let's just say we're going to start at the Super Bowl and work backwards. Okay. Let's say that there are 30 different cameras at the Super Bowl on the game. Okay. You have one that is on the coach at all time. You have the one that's on the quarterback at all time. Just say that you have 30 cameras that are rolling. Okay. In a game like the Broncos played yesterday, when you're talking about the Chargers playing against a team that's 3-6, there may be as little as 11. You know, 11. But in a small stadium like that, that may be a lot.
They may be just shooting that game on somebody's iPhone.
They could be shooting it on somebody's iPhone.
But the bottom line is... It's not a big profile.
No,
profile
but tonight, you know, ESPN will probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of... No, if 30 is the Super Bowl, they'll probably have as many as 24 cameras worldwide.
Yeah, we didn't see like a Steadicam running out there. We didn't see one of those zipline cameras that's right above the huddle, did we?
No.
We didn't see a pylon camera.
Right.
You know, that replay that we saw was just a sideline camera. You have two sideline cameras. You probably have an end zone camera. You got a couple of handhelds, and that might be it. It just wasn't a high-profile game.
Not high-profile enough.
What was shocking, though, is to find out that the coaches in all NFL games don't
have to wait for the TV review to see whether or not, and which
insane.
Is stunning, which is stunning to me, because they have the technology. Except here's what the NFL does not want NFL teams to do. They don't want them to videotape the game live and review it, because you know what happens then? You get to steal signals.
Mm.
And if you get to steal signals, then that's not fair.
Gotcha. Well, I don't know what to say.
So you have to depend on a TV broadcast or the rebroadcast of it in the stadium, which is...
And we found out every team has to at least one time replay big plays.
Yeah, you replay the big play. But
at least one time for both teams.
They don't have to give you the angle that is going to...
You could get a helicopter view.
Yeah, that's right. You can get the helicopter view.
Now, for the home team... Look at our 30 million Thunder Vision. You could slow it down, and you should, and they do a great job with that.
Yeah, right. When you're the home team, you get the advantage of controversial plays that need to be overturned. They got a way of showing you the best angle for the coach.
Yeah, who knew that it was a league rule, by the way, that they have to show you, even if it doesn't favor you, at least one replay on your Jumbotron.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either. Found out all sorts of stuff.
Because I've been in stadiums when I was playing where they wouldn't replay a bad play and show it. Well, I mean, I would sit, you know, as a player, what you do in the middle of plays, like you saw yesterday when Von Miller got the interception.
He was looking at the Jumbotron.
He was looking at
the
Jumbotron.
Yep.
So guess what players do in the middle of plays? As the play is being replayed on the Jumbotron.
Mm-hmm.
I still remember my days playing for the Broncos, looking up there and saying, "Look," you know, telling the referee, "Look at that, man! You see him holding me right there." And you know what the referees do?
That's awesome.
They try not to look at the replay.
Mm.
They don't want to see a play that they missed.
That was back in the day.
Oh, they still do it today. Then if you say, "Ref, look at there," he's not going to look up there because he's in. You know, he could. You know, I've had referees tell me during my playing days, you know what? That's my bad.
So,
meaning, maybe you'll get one later.
So while VJ didn't sound great with that answer about I don't know what they're looking at, and you probably should say, oh, come on, man, you got to know that. He certainly does now. But that being said, he still, in my opinion, made the right call by not throwing the flag. because he just couldn't get confirmation. And I hate when coaches just play things on a hunch. When they
you
don't
mean like
have
Ron
to.
Rivera.
I hate his explanation. Do we have a Big Sexy? Do we have Ron Rivera
explaining his 2-point try on the road?
Yeah, I mean, it was so
against the Detroit Lions, who were I don't know what that was that we saw out of the Detroit Lions yesterday, who absolutely dominated the game, found a way to hold on by not winning. Found a way to hold on to the game by basically blowing it at the end and not getting first downs and more scores. But you know what? That's what happens in football. You just, if you leave a team around, like the Chargers left us around yesterday, like the Jacksonville Jaguars left the Steelers around, okay, you end up getting disappointed. Those are two road teams that got wins in seemingly improbable ways against home teams.
So to me, hunches, and then I read and Peter King about Mike McCarthy, and I really soured on Mike McCarthy being a coach, perhaps of the Broncos or whoever. Here is Ron Rivera with all the technology, all the numbers, all the everything. Here's his explanation of why he went for two.
Well, I think you go for two on the road to win the game at the end of the day. What's to say the coin toss is going to go in our favor? What's to say we're going to slap them? So why not go for two? Well, he missed a couple kicks. I mean, that's, you know, that's all part of it. When I was going for the win, that's just the bottom line.
What he was telling you is that I don't believe that my kicker was an automatic go.
And I don't believe my defense.
No, it's more about his kicker.
Oh, he was telling you both those things.
I think he's telling you is that, look, my kicker is not automatic for the extra point.
What?
That's
what he was saying for the extra point?
Absolutely.
His kicker's not automatic for the extra point?
No, he missed two kicks yesterday, D-Mac. He just said it.
Did he miss extra points?
I'm not sure, but I was watching the game. I was on NFL Red Zone when that
extra
game.
Extra point is literally the easiest kick in the NFL.
If you don't trust it's not the easiest kick in the NFL.
It is literally the easiest percentage-wise kick in the NFL.
No, it is not.
It is.
No, it is not. Anything inside the 10-yard line, D-Mac, is a better kick.
Percentage-wise, first of all, there aren't many kicks inside of the 10-yard line. But the percentage of extra point kicks is something like 85-86%. It's absurdly in your favor.
Was it 35-yard field goal?
Yeah. In NFL terms, that's probably the – not probably. That's the easiest regularly kicked field goal in the NFL.
Really quick, Gano missed a field goal and an extra point
there
yesterday.
There you go. I was watching it.
Don't trust your kicker to kick an extra point, he should not be on your team.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? Why do you think that the Chargers were in the predicament that they were in last year?
What happened to those kickers?
All of them were cut.
Right. They had nine kickers.
I think the Chargers have gone through 7 kickers in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, one of their ding-dongs, Miss Bagley, whatever his name was, missed one yesterday. It is stunning. Absolutely stunning that you can't find a guy to kick extra points.
35 yards, man. I mean,
for an NFL kicker, that is nothing.
The game's most accurate kicker missed one, I think, last week. The kicker for the Baltimore Ravens. Justin Tucker missed one just like last week.
Yeah, it was like the first one he's ever missed in like 300 attempts.
People miss 2-foot putts.
All right. Ron Rivera's excuse to me is absurd.
He didn't trust his kicker.
First of all, he cited losing the coin flip.
You think the Rams are going to come back here next year?
You realize, Alfred, a coin flip is a 50-50 proposition, correct? He's like, who's to say we would have won the coin flip?
It depends on whether you call heads or tails.
I would love to see some statistical data.
Tails are 51% more likely than heads.
No, actually, you know what? I know the study to this. Do you know what it is?
It's 51-49.
No.
Tails.
It's not that much. It's not 51-49. It's like 50-point something to 49, and it's I'll tell you what it is exactly, because I read a study about this. The head size of a coin is slightly heavier than a tail sign. So if it starts heads up, you have a slightly better chance of it coming down heads. There is literally a study on that. We talked about that years
ago. I thought it was tails.
Heads is inherently, on a regular coin,
because it's a little heavier.
That's right. But it has to start heads up. So if you're ever
calling... What if it starts tails up?
It doesn't matter. It only matters if it starts heads up that you have that advantage. So literally, if you want
to... Gentlemen, here's the coin toss.
You should look at it.
We have D-Mac over here. You have Big Al over here, D-Mac.
I would want to look at it. Where are you starting the flip?
We're going to start this off at heads.
I would call heads.
Call it.
I would call heads.
And here's the flip.
Yeah.
Tails.
Yeah, of course. It could definitely happen. It's like 50.3 to 49.7. It's something like that.
I remember we did a whole day of this trying
you
to figure
remember.
Out the,
okay, good.
The heads,
we
the
asked,
tails.
I asked John Fox about it because it was like a thing. It was like they were losing all the coin flips or something. It was some ridiculous right. thing.
How did you see the referee got suspended for doing rock, paper, scissors for... in soccer to figure out how the game starts or something. You see that?
No.
Some crazy stuff going out there in sports.
How soccer gets started is about as random as you possibly get. It really literally makes no difference who starts with the ball in soccer.
But I think the referee told him to go rock, paper, scissors
to
see.
Fine. Why did he get in trouble? That's as good as anything.
Because they said you can't use rock, paper, scissors.
Why not? Why couldn't you?
I don't know.
It's fine. It's as random as anything.
Would you like to see rock, paper, scissors to start an NFL game?
That's fine by me. That'd be more entertaining than a coin flip.
One, two, three, shoot.
Yeah, sure, that'd be fun.
You know a soccer ref just got in trouble for doing that?
Yeah, I know. That's
you know, he's just said.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
He's literally just
said. What was the exact, what was the start?
Don't worry about editing your Wormhole. Let's not go down.
He forgot his coin in the locker room.
Let's go to.
No, he didn't. He did it because he wanted to.
That's what he said.
Let's go to Brian.
He did, but
he got
because there was another referee
Brian,
who did it the week
save
before.
Us, save us,
and,
Brian.
The guy the week before got suspended and fined. And so he did it just to support his friend.
Great. Brian, what's going on?
But he said he didn't have his coin.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, I don't want to pile on the ineptitude of Vance Joseph because that's not really what I like to do.
Sound like you just did, yeah. But go ahead.
I don't want to talk about you being a little bit overweight, but I think you need to go a little easy on Thanksgiving, Brian.
Sure. But my question is, so you're telling me someone like Bill Belichick, if he's in an opposing stadium, doesn't have one of his little minions on an iPad streaming the game?
He's not allowed to.
No,
he's not.
No, you cannot, buddy.
He's not allowed to. Now, the only thing you could possibly do is, gosh, you know what? I don't know.
If you want to circumvent the rules, if you want to circumvent the rules, you can be a Josh McDaniels, and then you can embarrass the entire organization, and then we'll certainly show you the way out.
I don't know this for a fact, and I'll look at it. I don't know if the assistant coaches sitting up in the booth are allowed to have their cell phones.
No.
You don't think they are? I don't think they are either, but I'll follow up on that. But I would bet that they're not. I know for a fact you can't have a cell phone down on the field. Know that for a fact. You can get in big trouble for that. And you're right. Those surfaces, that's not video. It's in place
still
of all
pictures.
those faxes
papers,
they used to send out.
Come off sideline. Show me the picture. Here it is, Coach.
Matt, you're on the fan. Hi,
told
Matt.
Told you I wasn't wrong.
Yeah, so on the same topic, did you guys already discuss just the home field, how the entertainment staff has control over what's shown? And had that been in Denver, it would have just been freeze framed
right.
on the jumbo.
Yeah. Right. That's the advantage of being the home team.
Right. But and you get screwed because the technology in that soccer stadium isn't, you know.
Well, the game wasn't big enough. The game wasn't big enough, not enough
now,
angles.
Now, that's a home field advantage, but when something does go under review, the staff is required to cut the broadcast feed to where the fans aren't seeing anything that the officials can't because the in-stadium camera feeds are different than those of the broadcast.
Who are you, Matt?
I just wanted to know some stuff.
and why do you know some stuff, Matt?
Just from the Shanahan years.
Well, things have changed a little. Things have changed a little bit, though. But I appreciate it, Matt.
I don't believe Matt is. No. I think Matt's right, and that things are still the same.
Okay, because things never change over 20-something years.
I don't know.
Well, now when you keep bringing back the same people,
right? Did you learn that when you Googled it on your iPhone 1?
Who are you talking to, Bert Big Sexy?
I'm talking to you.
iPhones weren't out 20 years ago. What are you doing?
Did you Google that on your flip phone? Things change, but not enough. And, you know, what the NFL obviously needs to do is standardize independent review. It should not be beholden to the TV broadcast or the Jumbotron. It's ridiculous. But I know what you're saying, because you don't want video to steal the signals and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I get it. You got to find some sort of happy medium. How about this, that you're allowed, there's a replay official, a neutral replay official in each booth, and you have a DVR or some other recording device, and then you can look back at the play anytime you want from the TV broadcast. I don't know. Something. You got to do something, Al.
iPhones were introduced June 29th, 2007.
Thank God. By the way, I'm looking at Tim Tebow's numbers, because I called it a Tim Tebow game, and it is funny to see in that year 2011.
Now you want to apologize to me? How many yards per game?
I'm not going to totally apologize to you, but I'll give you props. Because I said Case Keenum, 19 of 32 for 205 yards. And a quarterback rating of 78.3 is a very Tim Tebow-like stat. Tim Tebow, this is amazing. He averaged 19.4 attempts per game. That's it.
How many receptions a game?
Do they have that here?
How many completions, should I say?
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I see that here. Completions.
Eight?
Hold on. His completion percentage was 46.5.
And he threw about 19 times a game.
I can do it. Hold on 1 second.
Like eight one, change, dude.
26 divided by 14. Yeah, nine. So he averaged nine. That is terrible. He averaged nine completions a game.
You said 46% and he threw it about 19 times.
He averaged 19 attempts. So on an average game, Tim Tebow was 9 for 20 for 124 yards. But a quarterback rating of 72.9.
And Case Keenum's quarterback rating yesterday, I believe, 78.3.
Oh, my God. Was it really that bad?
I told you.
9 for 20 for 124 yards. That was an average
Tebow
game.
That's who he was.
But he only had 6 interceptions and 12 touchdown passes.
Kind of hard to do when you don't throw it.
Took 33 sacks. Oh, my Lord.
Offensive line loved him and hated him.
But the Broncos led the league in running. What a year that was, 2011. What a crazy, crazy year.
8-8, playoffs. Backed into the playoffs.
Yep, beep, beep, beep. Lost 3 games in a row. Lost to the Bills in an embarrassing fashion where nobody even rushed them. Then
they stood there. Defensive line, there was one guy rushing, and then like 3 guys took like 2 steps backwards when the ball was snapped.
Yeah, they were just standing there
like,
waiting.
You're not going to throw a screen,
right?
And you're not going to dump it over the middle.
Right. And if you run the ball, you're just going to run into us. And we don't really care if you average 4 or 5 yards a rush. They didn't even care. It was like, whatever. That, and they killed, the Bills killed the Broncos in that game. Who was the other loss to? It was the Bills. It was the Bills and the Chiefs, because the Chiefs was that 7-3, just one of the worst football games ever.
Oh, my goodness. It was ugly. And who was the quarterback? It was Orton.
Orton
the quarterback.
Tebow. Just unbelievably bad.
Hey, Orton helped us get to the playoffs by beating us.
But 8-8, they got to the playoffs. So you know what, Broncos fans? Listen, forget about draft status and where. Forget about all
that. Yeah, that's gone now.
Forget about it.
By the way, the Raiders won. What are they thinking?
Right. Who cares? It's not a great quarterback-heavy class. I heard the morning show say, and I believe it, there's not that much difference between whoever's going to be drafted 4th and 24th. It's just one of those years, okay? They happen. The year after 2020 will be a little bit different. So don't worry about it. Enjoy the ride.
Oh, by the way, I got a football expert who said your boy Tua is off the chain.
Okay, I believe it. Did you see what he did to the Citadel? By the way, nice scheduling by the SEC. That was a fun week off for everybody.
I know. What was that? At this stage of the game, you take a week off.
Basically, yeah. Like, let's get fat and happy with our numbers and everybody take a week off.
Let's let the voters, determine how good we were leading up to this game. Citadel, that would have been the biggest upset, man.
Well, they hung in there in the first half.
Was it tied at half? Is that what it was?
Was it tied?
It wasn't tied,
but it was close. It was close.
Like, I think it was tied at half.
Nah, it wasn't tied. It was close. They like Tua, though. You're a football expert.
See, your game was tied.
Who would know? All right. Yeah, Tua's good. Jake Fromm's good.
Oh, Fromm is my guy.
There's other good guys, but we'll start hearing about all how. By the way, I may have been the only person in the state of Colorado to watch the entire Justin Herbert game. Herbert from Oregon, as I watched every single snap.
Have you been checking out my guy Minshew?
Now, let me just finish this thought. I watched Herbert start to finish against Arizona State, and they did win the game. But to think that this guy is ready for the NFL is ridiculous.
Have you seen Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I've seen him. I got the mustache and the goatee, the whole thing. There's only Herbert is the number one overall quarterback. Run for the hills. Hopefully the Raiders take
him. Kyler Murray, man. Ooh.
You ready to turn around on Kyler Murray?
5'11".
We ready to talk?
5'11".
Let's have a talk about Kyler Murray.
Hey, when we come back from break, you got to hear this audio about what we saw yesterday from Lamar Jackson.
First time in NFL history, all five quarterbacks who were rookies started and won a game in 1 year. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
You can go to David real quick. We have Monday Night Football right here on the Fan. And when we come back, by the way, Big Sexy, let's go to Adam Schefter about Condoleezza Rice. You know, let's do that in about 10 minutes. Yes, David, you're on the Fan. What's up, David?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Super.
I'm super. Thanks for having me.
What do you got, David?
It was a good question, man. I'm not here to toot your ego. I mean, you guys know what you do, and you do it well. But it was a good question that you asked Vance and the fact that he didn't know the answer. But, you know, I have to say, guys, that win was huge. I know we have maybe a little bit of luck on our side. But
a little bit.
But hold on. Let me say this. Mm-hmm. We played them tough, and I think that, man, and you guys are going to call me crazy, but I think if we beat Pittsburgh this Sunday, and we can beat Pittsburgh, we've got the history on them. I think they can come in here, and we can really just give it to them, really. I really think we'll hand Pittsburgh. But if we beat Pittsburgh, the schedule's pretty favorable. I think we can run the table. And if Case played like this all season long in the last 2 minutes, where's this Case Keenum been? And this is the guy we signed up for, and you're absolutely right about the draft. Screw the draft. We don't need any other quarterback. We don't need them right now. If it doesn't work out next year, then, you know, Tua's out there.
That's right.
And
I agree.
You know, that's what I wanted to say. And I want
let's win games.
And look, I just want to say, man, everybody's so dang negative, but I get that. But I'm also I'm not unrealistic. I think if Keenum was to play like this the rest of the season, we'd have a shot. That's it, man. Thank you.
All right.
Once again, I agree.
Well, if he plays like he did in the fourth quarter, we'd have a shot.
But D-Mac, I mean,
we will not have a shot if he plays like he did in the first three quarters. But if he plays like he did in the fourth quarter, we absolutely will have a shot. Dude,
we scored 23 points. It's basically what we do. I mean, that's what we do. But the defense had two turnovers, and we didn't turn it over.
That's right.
You know, so it was a clean game. So it was a clean game, and it was played hard. And our offensive line just barely put together a great performance, man. Great performance.
In the first half, Keenum was 9 of 17 for 56 yards and a 59.9 quarterback rating. We will not win if he plays like that, but if he plays like he did in the second half, we'll be okay. Okay, one of the more strange stories, Al, was the Condoleezza Rice to be interviewed for the Cleveland Browns. The person that reported that story, Adam Schefter, joined us earlier. We have Monday Night Football, but we think you'll enjoy the weird tale of Condoleezza Rice and the Browns next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, so last week we were doing these picks, and we haven't won all year, so I've had to do the walk of shame. I was last place one week. It's been not a great year for me, so I went with you, Alfred, on all the picks. In fact, you had me change three or four of my picks. Big Sexy, how did Alfred and I fare this week?
Oh, you want the... there's no real way of putting lipstick on this pig, guys. You were last place, and it's mathematically impossible for you to get out of the basement.
For both of us.
Both of you guys got four correct this week. Four games. Four. Stokely and Evans, they both got eight correct this week. You guys got eight combined.
You kept the Bronco pick, right?
I went with San Diego, because that's what you said.
Don't forget he had that Thursday game wrong.
Every pick you told me to make, I made.
All right, I did a shame game, whatever.
Well, who's in last place, me or Alfred?
You both have the Vikings and you both have the Rams tonight. Let me count the points real quick.
Huh? Oh, I'll do it. I mean, I'm a grown man. Take responsibility for my... no kidding.
I deserve that.
It was the wave.
Hey, man, but if all of those games came down to, like, last-second moments, man.
Uh-huh.
Even, like, in that Washington Redskins game, there was a pass interference at the end of that game that didn't even get called.
The final score was 25-20 in that Bears-Vikings game. That puts a total of 45 points. D-Mac had 24-21. That's 45 points.
Oh, I nailed it. So it's Alfred.
It's going to be Alfred, yep. He had the Vikings 27, the Bears 24 for 51.
Well, nobody deserves it more than you in terms of the shame game this week.
Right.
Thank you to King Supers, who I guess we'll never see here this year. You know,
I'm
going to
pick him again this week.
No, I'm not even talking to you about it.
Okay.
King Supers 250. It's great. It's King Supers 1043thefan.com. Go to King Supers. It's King Supers.
Do it! That Alex Smith injury was just so ugly.
Let's get on to Adam Schefter. Has there been a more bizarre story than Condoleezza Rice as a candidate for the
Browns? Why is that bizarre?
Why is it bizarre?
What makes it bizarre?
She's never coached football.
Can she be a great manager? That's what a head coach is, right?
It's an interesting conversation.
Unless they're play callers. Isn't a head coach just the manager? Isn't that what VJ is? Just the manager, right?
Sounds like an incredible conversation somewhere deep in June. But right now, let's hear Adam Schefter as he reveals the essence of this story. Can you take us through the Condoleezza Rice tweet, Adam? And I'm sure you've had a lot of interesting feedback on that over the past 24 hours.
Well, it's a story that I wrote on air. Basically, the story was... and I stand behind it 100%, that the Browns were interested in interviewing Condoleezza Rice as a head coach again. I didn't say that they were hiring her. I didn't say she was the favorite.
Right.
I didn't say she was on the short list. I said they were interested in interviewing her for the head coaching job, which they were. And basically, I think it's a situation here where there are teams that interview a lot of different people all the time to gain a variety of perspectives. And I think somehow along the way, this turned into something that it wasn't in the internet world, that the Browns are hiring Condoleezza. Didn't say they were hiring her. They were interested in talking to her, which they were and perhaps still are. Now, I know that they came out and denied it. All I would say to you is that teams deny things often, and teams do what they have to do to make sure that they get a lid on things. And I am 100% confident in what I reported, and I would report it again tomorrow.
Well, I loved it, and a lot of people were freaking out about it. I wasn't one of them. I think you get a lot of different opinions, and why not? I just wonder why you have to interviewer under the guise of a head coach, and you can't just meet with her and talk about it.
And she probably should just be the commissioner of the NFL, to be quite honest with you.
But Alfred, she's talked about that before, and I don't disagree with that. But, again, I think here's what happened. Last week, the Browns themselves came out and said that we will leave no stone unturned, and we will interview anybody and everybody we have to, including women. Okay? Including women. So I asked around about what women are on their list.
Okay.
There we go.
I think that's great reporting. And I think it probably blew up a little different than they expected it to once you found out.
I think that's very accurate, D-Mac.
Yeah. And all of a sudden,
I think it's very accurate.
Yeah, it sort of became, and it must bug you when you report something one way and people just want to hear it their own way, I guess, and completely misrepresent exactly what was being reported.
Well, again, it's not up for me to do that. It's up for, you know, everybody. That's what I said. In the game of telephone, sometimes things get turned around. And my job is to present the facts. And I presented that the Browns were interested in interviewing Condoleezza Rice for their head coaching job, which would make her the first woman to ever interview for an NFL head coaching job. That's basically the story. How it became these other things, you know, I don't know. But, you know, again, that's not my job. I put out what I knew to be true. Browns can say whatever they want. I'm just telling you what I put out. Do you think I make this stuff up?
No, of course not.
Now you too, Adam. now you're part of the fake news organizations out there. Yeah, I'm just kidding, buddy. I know how you work, and I know that you check and second guess. Second check your sources.
You know, at Northwestern, when I went to graduate school there, they taught us on the very first day of graduate school. They said, if your mother tells you she loves you, check it out. And all these years later, I've not been able to confirm that my mother loves me. But the Browns definitely wanted to talk to Condoleezza Rice.
I think the concept of, first of all, a woman coaching in the NFL is fine. I think if you want to make the argument, a head coach needs to be the head organizer and facilitator of the other coaches.
Once again, Condoleezza Rice as the commissioner of the NFL.
Because Roger Goodell is making the owners billions of dollars.
Who says that she couldn't help make more than what he's making?
Who's to say that she could? I mean, Roger Goodell's actually doing a great job by the owner's definition. And the NFL's as popular as ever. We may have one of the highest rated Monday night games of ever. And we're going to hear that live here on The Fan.
For my partner, D-Mac, who asks tough questions and get great answers. For Big Sexy, the man behind the glass that pulls it together, and for Kyle Berry, appreciate you, bro. I'm Big Al. Have a great night, and I don't care who wins this game. Preferably, it be the Rams.
Is this how it feels?